Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, if you've ever seen my video series I did with Scott Duffy, my friend, he also works with Entrepreneur. Matter of fact, Entrepreneur Books just released his new book, Breakthrough. And in New York, Scott had the Breakthrough Mastermind. While I was at the Breakthrough Mastermind, I met a guy named Aaron Hagman. And Aaron is one of these guys. I said, you know what? I got to do an interview with you. We got to talk about business. We got to talk about being entrepreneurs. We got to talk about, I said, so, you know, one of the things that my team does, they always ask everybody, give us five questions or topics or things. Let me tell you what number four on Aaron's list of things were. Why fun is the secret sauce to success. And that's why Aaron and I hit it off, because I love to laugh. I love life. I love people that love life. And then guess what? We all sing Kumbaya and we have a good time together. And Aaron and I did that. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Fantastic. Here's the question. Why did you put fun at number four and not number one? Can I ask that?
Man, start me off with the hard question.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. I just started writing was probably the answer, and just realized, oh, I should get something important out there, actually, too, beyond the boring business stuff I know we're going to talk about.
No, we're not going to, just so you know. And here's the funny thing. Now, I didn't tell anybody who you are or what you do. I should do that. Aaron is the owner and CEO of a company called DDI, which is Delivery Drivers Incorporated, DDIWork.com. Tell the world what that is real quick so they know what your business is.
Sure. Delivery Drivers, Inc. is a third-party human resources company. We specialize in the last mile space, the whole gig economy. We work with helping courier companies, restaurant delivery companies, grocery companies, anybody who wants to deliver their products to your front door. We help them run their independent contractor driver programs properly.
Yeah. Can you talk about how big this company is? How many employees, or do you have employees? How it works?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're based in Orange County in Southern California in Irvine, and I have about 25, 30 employees actually on my staff, handling everything for my in-house employees, handling everything from recruiting drivers to, you know, screening drivers with background checks and motor vehicle records, drug testing, into document management, accounting, insurance, all the back office human resources work just to help, you know, the drivers do their business and help our courier clients focus on their side of things.
Right. And so how many 1099 people do you have flowing in and out of that organization?
Yeah, that's the real number on there. So we have an active roster base amongst our clients of probably about 4,000 1099 delivery drivers across the country in 43, 44 states right now. And then we source and probably talk to 90,000 or so applicants and interested people a year about being drivers or looking for more jobs.
Right. And you're getting some pretty good sized clients now, I understand, too.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've always been proud of with my business is the ability for us to accommodate really all types of companies. So we have a very scalable program. So we do work with startups up into some of the largest companies in the world. You know, we're proud to say that we're working with Walmart, for example, to help build their national grocery delivery program.
So you're talking about,
from,
you know,
startups to Walmart.
Right.
Got them all in between.
It's beautiful. And this explosion of this last mile economy, I don't know how much this gets talked about. Can you riff on that for like a minute? How big is that? How much of an explosion of growth is there?
Yeah, you know, I was pulling some stats before our, you know, interview here. And according to Forbes, about a year, year and a half ago, almost a third of our country is working in some sort of independent 1099 format. Now, that's not always just last mile. You know, there's a lot of Uber and Lyft and Grubhub drivers, for example, out there doing last mile delivery. But when we talk about 1099 workforces, we're also talking about, you know, bookkeepers and computer programmers, right, and freelancers and all kinds of industries. Yeah. But needless to say, the delivery world has absolutely exploded. We've been in business over 20 years. In the last 5 years, it's just been this gigantic upward trajectory.
Well, it doesn't hurt having clients like Walmart either. That's going to that's going to change your world. That's going to rock your world, brother. And I want to come back and talk about why fun is the secret sauce to success, because, you know, God, imagine being in business and not have fun with the people you're working with. And then all this political stuff going on makes us afraid to have fun, because it used to be fun to, you know, tell jokes. We're afraid to tell a joke anymore. Tell you what, we'll take a little break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly, back with Aaron Hagman right after this.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, girls just want to have fun, too. And Aaron Hagman says, why fun is the secret sauce to success. Welcome back, everybody. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Delivery Drivers Incorporated, DDIWork.com on the web. Aaron, first of all, you and I, obviously, we, you know, for 3 days, we're hanging around in New York, went to a Yankees game, had a blast. We were constantly having fun. But in the business environment we have today, for a lot of people, it's a little scary for people, you know, because they're so worried about being sued for any words that come out of their mouth inappropriately. And so we do obviously have to have a greater, I think, understanding of, you know, what people need from us, which I think is, you know, respect and care and that type of thing. But having fun is still very important. I think we do need to adjust the timing on our fun, like a car when the timing's off, it's running rough. And it's been pretty rough in the world, and more for women than men, obviously, I know. And there was a study about, they asked men about, you know, if they go out into the world in the last 4 or 5 years, how often are they afraid of being attacked or anything like that? And most guys, we go through life, we don't ever think about that. And then they asked the women in the room, you know, in the last 5 years, how many times have you been afraid of being attacked or assaulted or whatever? And every one of them has held up their hand, because in the last 5 years, women are in a different world than men are. Men, you know, we're like lions. We're out there prowling, and women are, you know, more vulnerable. So the world is different, but I still want to have fun. I still do have fun. I can't live in fear of being sued. I mean, look how many employees you have. I have about half of what you have. But, you know, I think that having fun is the secret sauce. So we do have to make adjustments. I think that's what these things are teaching us right now. But I noticed your number one biggest lesson learned, not being Superman and doing everything. So I'll come back to that, Superman. You've had to learn how to let go of a few of those tasks in your life, haven't you, in business?
Yeah, that's really what that is all about, you know, and I'm a people person. So if we're trying to find alignment with this conversation, it's what is fun to me, and it's helping my team, you know, it's helping them grow in many ways. It's finding ways to empower them. And, you know, I'm a fun guy. I don't want to do all the boring work all the time. So, you know, in many ways, it's about getting out of the way and, you know, growing a company and to be able to create some of those jobs and those opportunities for the team.
Right. No question. I think having fun is definitely important. Finding ways to have fun with your team is definitely important. I mean, we get so caught up in the workaday life of going in, and then life becomes a drudgery, and then you start to hate your job, and then you start looking for a new job. And so I think as the leaders and the thought leaders of the company, we have to look for ways to make it fun for our employees and our people that we work with. So I agree. I think that number four on your list, why fun is the secret sauce to success, should probably be up near, you know, one or two, but I'll give you a mulligan on that one.
Thank you, my friend.
Best tips for entrepreneurs in your point of view. And again, we met at the Scott Duffy Breakthrough Mastermind in New York, and we became friends. I have a feeling that we're going to hang more often. Matter of fact, I'm going to be down in LA later this week. I'll give you a call. But nice. Let's talk about tips of, you know, things that you've been involved in many of these entrepreneur, you know, you were involved in, was it Young Entrepreneurs or Entrepreneur Organizations? Haven't you?
Yeah, EO specifically. It's called Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a global network in over 70 countries of, you know, 13,000 successful entrepreneurs and truly every business imaginable. So
did you find that helpful? How long did you do that?
10 years consistent involvement and even some leadership roles within that organization. And it's absolutely beyond helpful. Helpful is just an understatement. It's all about peer learning. I've always, my whole life, realized that I can learn more about a challenge through another lens.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have, as entrepreneurs, challenges. Let's just take an easy example. Hiring a great team member is really difficult. It is. And if you can look at my friend who's in the armored car business or somebody in the restaurant industry, and I'm over here in human resources, when we start to compare these ideas and how are you being successful in your world, it really, really helps me learn a lot and have some amazing takeaways.
All right. So I said that kind of like I knew the answer, but I wanted to hear it from you. I think you are, you know, going and hanging with people that are successful and learning from them, it does rub off if you let it. We'll take a break. This is Entrepreneur Weekly, and Aaron's going to come back and give us some of his best tips for entrepreneurs from his point of view. Aaron Hagman. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, to me, having fun is the secret sauce of success and life. Life is meant to be fun. Not every single day, not every minute of the day, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with having fun. Aaron Hagman joining us. This guy is exploding. He's involved in the last mile economy. And I wanted to try and, you know, get you to give us some entrepreneurial tips, because you've been through this thing, your explosion of growth right now with what's happening, and the world is changing, and it's changing in your favor and in your direction. And so I'm, from your point of view, you are a fun guy. We had a blast. We were laughing our heads off. Every time I would look at you, I'd start laughing and you would start laughing. That to me is just fun. I like people like that. It just warms the cockles of my heart. Can I say that, Aaron? Is that okay? I'm not trying to be weird or anything. All right. Tips for entrepreneurs. What do you got?
Well, if we're going to stick with the theme on fun, I got two main thoughts here. One, we have to create an amazing work environment for our team. Because if you're trying to grow a business, you're trying to scale a business, as we've already said, it can't be about you, the individual entrepreneur that maybe started something from a passion. You know, you have to have an amazing environment. And to me, you know, it comes from who we are. It shifts around with my management team and our leaders. We're trying to do things that are relevant to us. I personally love Halloween. It's coming up here in a few weeks. And we kind of have a joke around here that you're not allowed to come to work that day unless you're dressed up. You know, it's just about, and we have a contest, and, you know, we give things away. You know, it's about creating a great work environment. We dedicate a budget, you know, something that, you know, I found not a lot of my entrepreneur friends do. And we have a budget to having fun. And so that goes down to quarterly events. You know, we may do karaoke night, or we'll go to an Angels game and get a suite like you and I did at the Yankees game, right, which of course in Southern California. Things like that. We try to mix it up. You know, we do some of the old school stuff, you know, three-legged races at the picnics and things like that. All right. Maybe we've never actually done that. It just sounded good. But, you know, it's about creating a great, great work environment. No cubicles at the office. We burned those years ago. Things like that. So we want to make sure everybody enjoys their teammates and who they're working with and has a great work environment. You know, good coffee in the break room.
You know, it's funny. It's funny how people are afraid to have a good time sometimes. They're afraid to have a good time. So I'll give you an example. A buddy of mine calls me. I'm getting ready to go to my high school reunion, 40th high school reunion. And he says to me, I can see Alan Taylor in a baby blue tuxedo. We started laughing, and I thought, you know what? Damn it. I'm going to go find a baby blue tuxedo and wear it to 40.
As long as it has a top hat.
Right. And I did wear a top hat, but it wasn't a baby blue. I had a top hat and tails, just so you know, on my high school prom.
Perfect.
So that's the kind of guy I was. But and then I was with an automaker the other day, and they were having us test drive this car because, you know, I also work with the car companies and test cars for a living, kind of a fun life. And they had this gigantic – have you ever seen those gigantic teddy bears that are like twice as big as a human? And so the fastest person through the slalom course got to win this gigantic teddy bear. I'm sure it's like $1,000. I don't even know. So I didn't get the fastest time. Some hot shoe, we call him, some really good racer guy got it. And so you know what I did? I ran over and I grabbed that freaking teddy bear, and it weighed like 100 pounds. And I threw it up on my shoulders, and I started running. I go, I'm done. I'm taking it. And I was running around there. Everybody's laughing at me. You know what? I am not afraid to have a good time. I think it comes back to why fun is the secret sauce to success, because all of a sudden you stand out. And not in a bad way. Some people might say, oh, look at him. He's an idiot. I don't care if they say that. I'm having a good time. And you stand out and people then notice you. And guess what? You know, we try so hard to do all this social media and all these things. And, you know, I'll spend all this money when if we just weren't afraid of having a good time. And Aaron, that's what I recognized in you. You are doing this tremendous business. And boy, hats off to you. Tip of the hat, man. You are killing it, right? But you are still not afraid to be Aaron Hagman, who is just still that kid inside who loves to have a good time. And I do believe, even though you shoved it down to number four, to me, in my book, in life, having fun is the number one most important secret sauce, brother.
I agree, even if it's number four.
That's right. Well, that's right.
I don't think you're going to let that one go. I'm going to hear about that for a couple of years.
No, because you know what? I look forward. Here's the thing. I look forward to seeing people I'm going to have a smile from and have fun with. And you don't look forward to people that have a frown on their face or a grimace or always analyzes everything you do. Oh, your shirt's too big or your shirt's too short or you should tuck it in or your shoes are uglier. It's like, you know what, people? Live and let live. Calm down. Have a good time. Have some fun in your life. It might actually do you some good. Look at me and Aaron, man. We had a blast. We're trying our best to pull some business stuff out of this, but I'm keeping it to having a good time. Sorry, Aaron. That's my new thing.
That's all good, man. It's all good.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely enjoyed meeting you. I cannot wait to get together with you again. If you guys want to find out more about Aaron Hagman, he is at ddiwork.com. Thousands of 1099, you know, employees, you might say, or I don't know, what do you call them? Hires. And now working with Walmart. Aaron, thank you for putting a smile on my face for those couple of days, brother.
Absolutely. It was great to meet you. Thanks for making the time today.
Yeah.
And you better call me when you're down here in Southern California.
I'm gonna. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Have fun, people. I'm going to say it again. Have some damn fun. Racing car, passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm going to go, go, go. There's no stopping. Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
The secret to success is having fun. That's what we said in the last segment. But unfortunately, our next guest is not going to be able to have too much fun. We'll try, because he is a specialist in SEO. Jeremiah Smith, co-founder and CEO of Simple Tiger. And all I can say is that in the world of SEO, there are experts and there are idiots. I fall on the latter part. I just don't have any clue about SEO and how to make it work. So hopefully, you know, listen, I'm about to launch a new website, okay? I spent probably $100,000 of my hard-earned money on a simple website before. Now, it doesn't really do what I want it to do. So, flush the toilet, start over again, because it just was like throwing money away. I mean, look, it worked for a little while, but anyway, so, but then you get a new website out. How do you get it to land, you know, where you want it to, which is being the first page in a Google search or something to that effect, you know, whoever you search with. Jeremiah Smith is joining us, and God bless you if you can make this fun, brother.
Well, I appreciate the challenge, and I don't know if I could be quite as black and white as saying they're the smart guys in SEO and the idiots, but I appreciate that. That helps me with my job a whole lot.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, the un-PC Alan Taylor, of course, you know. So how does one get on the first page of Google? And people, get your pencils out and start writing this down if he's going to share stuff. And then, I want to just start there, and then I'm going to ask you what Simple Tiger does. SimpleTiger.com. But yes, go.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Yeah, that's a question that's a lot like, so what is a Freemason, right? So I think digging into the answer to this question is going to, you know, there's so many ways I could take it. But really, I can break it down into a pretty simple framework that we like to do, because at Simple Tiger, we want to simplify everything. And that's kind of my view as I talk to people. When they think about SEO, a lot of people think it's extremely complex. It's very confusing. And to be honest, I can understand why. I've been in it so long that it's no longer complex or confusing to me at all. Right. But I can see how many marketers, many businesses, and many people look at it and say, holy cow, I don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to give you a real simple framework, real easy way of thinking about SEO that should hopefully make things easier for you moving forward. So we kind of break it down into three major categories. Those categories are technical, content, and offsite. Technical is kind of the code and structure of your website, how it's built. Kind of think about for a moment the Dewey Decimal System in a library. You know, you go into a library of millions of books, you can go find the exact book that you're looking for because there's a nice technical structure to the library, right? So if your site is built according to a technical structure, Google can easily crawl and index your entire website. It understands everything it's looking at. So that's one part. The next part is the content, the text, images, video, and audio that's on your website. And again, going back to that library analogy, if I'm trying to learn about a specific subject, well, the Dewey Decimal System can't teach me that subject. It can get me to a book, though, that does teach me about that subject. And within that book, I can read deeper on that subject. So now we're talking about the actual content of the website. So what is that content saying? Is it talking about your product, your service, your industry, do's and don'ts in your industry, alternatives to your competitors, pricing for your product or solution, implementations or use cases of your solution? So there's so many different ways of talking about what your business does, and having content on your site to do that is kind of the key or the cornerstone of good SEO. After that, then we talk about this huge category of stuff called offsite. Now, offsite's a very general term that I use that predominantly is usually made up of links. And when I say links, I mean links pointing from other websites to your website. The reason links are such an influential factor in rankings, I think, is largely because they're much harder to manipulate than things on your website. You know, if you own a website like that $100,000 behemoth that you had built, it's much easier for you to go into that site and manipulate it and thereby manipulate part of Google's algorithm, or at least their understanding of your website, by changing things on your site. But going out and manipulating what other people are saying about you and manipulating links coming into your site, much, much harder to do. And so Google kind of offsets the risk in accidentally showing users bad results in their searches by offsetting their risk with this kind of link factor.
Mm. Well, if you want to know the difference between the idiot and the expert, you just heard it. Because that's an expert talking right there. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, and I hate to tell you, it's not that difficult now that you've explained it. The technical structure would be, you know, let's just say you're building a house. That's the blueprints and the walls and where everything goes, right?
Right.
And then the content is obviously exactly what it is. You said it. Text, video, audio, the content. It's your furniture. It's your, you know, your fixtures and plumbing and all those kind of things that is inside the house. And then the offsite stuff, which is the part, you know, I had to kind of really kind of squint as you were saying it, but I get it. So then, then the question is, oh, a commercial break. Oh, right there.
Okay. Perfect timing.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about this because this is a very complex subject that so many people tell you they know about, But clearly Jeremiah Smith does, so we're going to use him to help understand this thing called SEO, search engine optimization, because that's how you get up on the top of the pages. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with more.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time. I'm shooting star, leaping through the sky.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, trying to have fun with a very complex thing, SEO. Oh, my gosh. I got a headache, I'm telling you already. But Jeremiah Smith doing a great job. Co-founder and CEO, Simple Tiger. Not Crouching Tiger. That's karate or kung fu. SimpleTiger.com. If you want to get your website in the first page of the search on Google, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, maybe we can talk about why many companies don't get the results from their SEO and what they're doing wrong. So I'm going to bounce around a little bit for you because, you know, that's my problem. Obviously, I'm not getting the results. And here's another one. I remember a guy came to me one time. I was talking and guy, you know, he overheard me talking and it was a bunch of people I knew. And I said, yeah, I wish I could get more Instagram followers. He goes, oh, I can get you a ton of Instagram followers. I do it in 1 month. I can take care of it. It costs you $1,000 and blah, blah, blah. I have every friend I could ever possibly want to know in Indonesia right now. They all like my page and I got 8,000, but who cares? I honestly, you know what I mean? I don't want to buy that stuff. I need real people that are actually interested in what I do. But anyway, let's go back to SEO. Why don't we get the results we want from SEO, Jeremiah?
That's a great question. I think there are so many answers to that. It largely is on a case-by-case basis. If I looked at 10 different companies who are investing in SEO, I highly doubt that they're all going to be the same answer. So I will say, though, that there is an awful situation in our industry, and I kind of come as an ambassador of our industry doing this for so many years. There's an awful scenario where so many companies claim that they do SEO because they understand kind of that technical portion that we talked about earlier, even though they don't really understand the content or the offsite portion, the link building portion or any of that, they understand the technical portion. And so they offer up a service called SEO. And that really grinds my gears because people out there are buying that thinking that they're getting the full suite when really they're just getting the blueprints, kind of for the home, like you were talking about earlier. That's right. Only going to get you so far. And so a lot of times what's happening there is that companies are working with either an agency or a consultant or a team that doesn't really know SEO that well.
And like I said, there's experts and idiots. And unfortunately, a lot of the idiots, they pretend to be experts. And that's what you're saying, but I'm saying it a little more harshly than you are. Go ahead. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think really it comes down to if you're investing in SEO, you really need to do your best to understand SEO because it's kind of like just taking the first financial advisor that walks up to you and throw in your $100,000, you know, retirement fund that you've decided
to
start
to them.
Yeah, sure. Here, take it, put it where it needs to go.
Painful. You know what? That's called the idiot tax. I paid it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So you don't want to pay that. And so there are reputable companies out there that will teach you a lot about SEO. I think one great resource that you guys could easily recommend to anyone would be Moz.com. They don't offer SEO. They just teach a lot about SEO.
By the way, I interviewed the Wizard of Moz, and I can't think of his name right now.
Rand Fishkin.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. What a cool guy. We did a Business and Burger show on him. You should look it up.
He's so cool.
Tell me his name again.
Rand Fishkin.
That's right. Rand Fishkin, the Wizard of Moz, they call it. That's all I could remember. But and you know what? We sat down over a burger and we talked about all this. My fear for people is what I have experienced, what you are articulating, is that there are a lot of people out there that say they are experts in this. And unfortunately, there are a lot of us out there that believe them because we want to believe people. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we are responsible for the money that we spend on these things. We cannot just say, hire that guy. He's got a good hairdo. I remember Rand had like this curly mustache and he wasn't going to shave. And it was like this funny story. But when it came right down to it, like you're doing, he explained to me the things I needed to do. Now, I will never make these mistakes again. I've right. paid the idiot tax. You guys listening, don't pay the idiot tax. Listen, you know, listen to Jeremiah Smith. Check him out, simpletiger.com. But here's my thing. I mean, I really believe there are predators out there preying on mm-hmm. us because we don't have the time to do the research, sadly. But that's right. what this show is about. That's why we want to get guys like you and Rand Fishkin and the Wizard of Moz and people that can be trusted. Now, and thank you for spending the time with us. I want, if you could, for a couple of minutes, content marketing, link building tips that you say are crucial.
I think in regards to content marketing, again, earlier I referred to it as kind of the cornerstone of SEO. When we're working on any kind of an SEO project, after we get a lot of the optimization, the cleanup, the setting up the house kind of taken care of, then a lot of what we're doing on an ongoing basis for our clients and a lot of what you should be paying for if you're paying for SEO is a mixture of content marketing and link building. And so that you understand those a little bit better and can potentially do them yourselves, look at it from a perspective of ultimately try to get outside of your company and look at it from the outside. The easiest way to do that is to field questions that your sales team are constantly answering. You know, what are the top 10, 15, 20 questions that your sales team is constantly getting? And can you write a blog article about each one of those? What are reasons why you should pay more for your service than the other guy? You know, mm-hmm. Write about that. What makes you an alternative or differentiates you from a competitor? Write about that. There are so many different angles of ways that you can write about what it is that your company does that will actually provide value to your audience. And so you can produce content around that. Now, here we are talking on this audio podcast. Something that I also highly recommend is repurposing content. So if you have the capacity to create a video is kind of the mecca of content because you can start with a video and then you can take the audio track from it and use an audio podcast from the video. Then you can take that, like this audio podcast, and transcribe it into text. And then you can take that text and you can reformat it into blog articles and ebooks. And then you can reformat quotes to Instagram slides. And you could see how that single video or that single piece of audio sprouted legs and walked all over the place in regards to producing content. Right. Went everywhere.
I got some good news for you, brother. This is also a nationally syndicated radio show. That's where it broadcasts first. So we're broadcast, mm-hmm. then we convert it into podcast, and then we convert little snackable pieces of content, like you just said there, into mm-hmm. social media, you know, 1 minute and less type stuff so that we can continue to, you know, hopefully attract people to listen to the whole long format show of guys like you that are too legit to quit talking right now because we got to take another break. All right, we're talking to Jeremiah Smith, co-founder and SEO, oh, CEO. I almost called you the SEO of Simple Tiger. That's what they do. It's called SEO, search engine optimization. When we come back, we're going to find out about not growing your business for the sake of growth. What the heck? Yes, people do it. Some people just want numbers. Like I was saying early, you know, buy me a whole bunch of audience, but it may not be the audience that you really want. Who cares about people in Indonesia listening to my show? If they don't know what I'm, if they're not interested in what I'm talking about, what do I just, am I just buying numbers? Don't do it. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget, we got a magazine on the newsstands, Entrepreneur. Are you an entrepreneur? Do you think of yourself as an entrepreneur? You're an entrepreneur, intrapreneur working for a big organization, and you know that you just take responsibility for things and run? You're an intrapreneur. You're an entrepreneur. You've got this crap job that you just can't stand and you want to break out. Do it. We'll help you along the way. I'm talking to Jeremiah Smith. He's the co-founder and CEO of Simple Tiger. They help folks with SEO. They have a mix of education, services, consulting. It's good stuff. You guys can find them on the web again, simpletiger.com. Okay. Was I right on the way out of that last break? I said, you know, people, they just buy numbers just so they can show the bean counters. Look at our numbers, you know.
Right.
They're growing their numbers for the sake of growth, and it really isn't growth that really helps them. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? Do people do that, right, all the time?
Yeah, it does. It totally makes sense to me, and it's something that I talk pretty frequently about. You know, the vanity metric in SEO is rankings.
We talk about
the vanity metric. So, a good metric for a company to look at is profit or revenue, for example. Those might be good metrics to actually look at, or client retention or employee retention. Those are great metrics to look at because those actually hit your bottom line. They matter to the spirit and the soul of your business. But when we talk about something like, for example, in SEO, we talk about rankings a lot. If I get you to rank on the first page of Google for a given keyword, that doesn't necessarily equate to a bottom line revenue increase. It could be a piece of crap keyword. Or like you said, if I get you 10,000 more Instagram followers, but they're all, like you said, robotic friends from Indonesia, right. How does that really help you?
Yeah.
So I think that's an important thing. And the reason that I like to focus on talking about not growing your business just for the sake of growth is because when you get into those trenches of trial and tribulation, you're going to find that there is nothing motivating you because you're not growing right now. Yeah. And that you actually just kind of sense failure all around. And if you're like me, failure does motivate you to get up and get going. But a lot of people aren't like me in that regard. A lot of people need something else that they can reach out to and grab onto. And I know, even though I work that way, sometimes I've needed a greater purpose to reach out to and grab onto versus just growing for the sake of growth.
All right. You have 2 minutes left, two questions. What the SEO industry doesn't want you to know is one, and preparation for the future of search. Give me 1 minute on each.
So the SEO industry, I don't know why, other than the fact that they could probably make more money off of this in the long run and that they don't necessarily know what they're doing. But one thing the SEO industry doesn't want you to know is that you can actually get results very quickly with SEO. It just costs a lot more and requires a lot more resources up front. That doesn't mean because there's some kind of proprietary skill or anything that's necessary. You just have to produce a heck of a lot more content and a heck of a lot more links a heck of a lot faster. Someone in our industry did an incredible case study where they launched a business and within 90 days, they were generating $100,000 a month in revenue from SEO alone. Ooh. And it was because they invested heavily in building out their content, building links, and launching this thing and getting it off the ground as fast as possible.
I need help here. Okay, so the next one is the future. What is the future, bro?
So the future of search, as I alluded to earlier about artificial intelligence, Google has made a heavy play into artificial intelligence. And what everyone needs to know about AI is that AI is still a man-made machine, a man-made system, and it is based off of the inputs that we deliver it.
Right.
So the more that you give AI, the more intelligent it becomes. We need to keep that in mind and not freak out too much about how are we going to game the system? How are we going to compete with each other? Just do good business and do good marketing, do good messaging, produce good content, talk to your customers online, and you have nothing to worry about. Artificial intelligence is naturally going to cause Google to follow us, the users, into what we like. And so if somebody seems to like something and the audience seems to move a certain direction, you as a business owner need to innovate and get over there quickly, and you'll be just fine. You don't have to think about SEO as much as you used to.
Mm. I said it at the beginning of this segment with Jeremiah Smith. What is the difference between an expert and an idiot? We've just found out. This is an expert. Co-founder and CEO, SimpleTiger.com. Dude, you taught me something very important. Something called the vanity metric. The smoke and mirrors that we're we're fooling ourselves with the vanity metric. Oh my gosh. Do it, but do it right. Get a mix of education and services and consulting from Simple Tiger. Thank you so much. We need that, that breath of fresh air of honesty and truth. And you did a great job, Jeremiah. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here. Thanks for having me.
We try and do that and have a little fun along the way. That's my job. I'm Alan Taylor. We will see you next time on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.